Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Orc Boss by Lark Green. Narrated by Ramona Radcliffe. Chapter 1.
Hey, you up?
I always considered myself level-headed, especially as I barreled toward my mid-30s at increasing speed. I often found comfort in there being very few things in this world that could send me into a tizzy. Except for my ex-boyfriend. The text message had arrived exactly at 12:01 a.m., the 1 minute past the hour, making it an official booty call, and had the power to send me into a full-body tailspin. It had become a bi-monthly self-destructive ritual. Carter would text, always after midnight, asking the same question. Too lazy to even use proper English. Hey, you up? And I would always answer with a resounding yes. Then show up to his house in the middle of the night, like some late-night call girl, wearing my best lingerie under my jacket. Then leaving before the crack of dawn, so none of Carter's neighbors I used to barbecue with when we were still dating could see how far I've fallen. The degrading sex was never worth the shame anyway. Carter would give up eating me out before I reached the precipice of an orgasm, always blaming his TMJ, and then proceeded to thrust inside me for 2 violent minutes before rolling over and immediately falling asleep. I'd spend the next few weeks nursing my pride, silently vowing to myself that it would never happen again. That was the last time. But when Carter would text again next month, I'd find myself crawling back, like his dick was more addictive than the newest street drug. In my therapy session the other day, the realization that I had been ignoring finally clicked. No matter how often I slept with Carter, we were probably not getting back together. No matter how much work I put into improving myself, inside and out, it would never be enough. I had spent hours in the gym, alternating between spin and boxercise classes. I had attended enough women in work seminars that I had enough lanyards to hang myself with. I even cut my long mousy brown hair into a face-framing bob to make my face look thinner. The only reason I had started therapy in the first place was to figure out why I was so unlovable. But every positive step I took, all the time and money spent, was immediately undone by a single text message and 1 question with lazy grammar. Carter hung around in the back of my mind like some dark shadow. I couldn't see him, but I knew he was there, hanging out in my periphery. But tonight, I was breaking the cycle. Tonight, I was answering with a resounding no. The only problem? I was wine drunk and very, very horny. Thank the goddess I had a plan. I may be lacking in several areas, but at least I was always prepared. Time to take care of this. Can't make bad decisions if I'm not horny, I thought, ignoring his message on my phone. I reached into my bedside table drawer, grabbing my vibrator. Old Faithful, I called him. The only man to never let me down. Still laying on my bed, I shimmied out of my pajama shorts and placed the head of the vibrator on the sweet spot between my legs. I closed my eyes, tipping my head back against my pillow. Bzzzt. Bzzzt. The vibrator gave 1 long, mournful sigh before it died. You've got to be kidding me, I hissed, shaking the vibrator and slamming the head against the flat of my palm like it was the side of a vending machine that had eaten my last dollar. I clicked the on and off button, but to no avail. Old Faithful was dead. This was a fate I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I yanked up my shorts and marched into my kitchen. Wrenching the junk drawer open, I quickly rifled through old restaurant menus, napkins, and scotch tape. But no batteries. Why wouldn't you buy a vibrator with a charging cable? Because the one with the cord was cheaper, I shot back to that annoying voice in my mind. With a frustrated sigh, I pulled the entire drawer off its hinges and dumped everything on the white tile. Still no batteries. So much for being prepared. I kicked the contents and walked away. I stopped halfway in the living room, before turning back and picking up all the items, before returning the drawer to its slot in the cabinet. Don't text Carter. Don't text Carter, I chanted in my head as I returned to my bedroom and swiped open my phone. I searched for the closest convenience store. I had 20 minutes before they closed. That was enough time to pick up a pack of batteries, and a good job for ignoring Carter Snack if I hurried. I grabbed my trench coat to hide my pajamas and no bra look, the one I usually wore over my lingerie when I visited Carter, and rushed out the door. I power-walked down the hallway of my gated apartment complex. As I rounded the corner, I ran into a shrunken form, knocking over the tower of packages in her arms. Miss Williams, I am so sorry. I leaned down, frantically picking up the packages. Miss Williams smiled politely at me, waving a dismissive hand at my spot on the floor. Miss Williams was Fay, just like me, and most of the residents in the complex, and her short pointed ears stuck through her tightly curled white hair like two mountain peaks poking out of a cloud.
It's quite all right, Skye. I should have been paying more attention.
My knees popped uncomfortably as I tried to stand while balancing her packages. These are pretty heavy. Let me help you carry them back to your place. What are you doing up so late? I asked the old woman as we walked down the hall to her room. There was already a bead of sweat running down my neck. Mental note to pick up some dumbbells next time I'm at the gym. Miss Williams pinched the soft underside of my arm.
I was about to ask you the same thing, dear. Meeting a gentleman?
She grinned at me. Trying not to, actually. I forced a laugh. Just running a late-night errand. So, what's with all the packages? Do I need to hold an online shopping addiction intervention for the both of us? She shook her head.
I wish I knew how to work my computer. Someone was supposed to come over and help me set it up.
Right, I remember. Sorry, been a little busy. She shrugged, obviously not too put out that she hadn't been connected to the World Wide Web yet. But the packages are from my son. He called to tell me the packages should have already been delivered, and because I didn't want any goblins or orcs stealing my things, I decided to check my box.
Uh-huh.
I had to tread lightly. Most Fae from Ms. Williams' generation were prejudiced against other species. They basically hated all outsiders. I knew from experience one small misstep could send her into a long-winded rant about how anyone who wasn't Fae was a threat to our community. We were both on the HOA committee, and Ms. Williams had the special talent to turn a 15-minute meeting into an hour-long rant. And I did not have time for that tonight. Ms. Williams inserted her key into her door and continued, even though I had done a good job of keeping my lips sealed. Skye, have you heard of that new drug the kids are using? It's bad. What's it called again? Blackrock, I think. Yes. I heard on the news the orcs are responsible for bringing it into the city. She opened her door for me and I stepped inside, overwhelmed by the smell of dust and potpourri.
Skye, promise me you're careful when walking around, especially at night. I've seen a couple of orc fellows walking around the neighborhood, probably looking for kids to sell to. It won't be long until the drug is poisoning our streets, too.
I sighed, stopping in her living room that looked exactly like mine, just filled with furniture from the 60s.
Miss Williams, the CEO of my company is half-orc. Just because they're orcs doesn't mean they're automatically drug dealers. They're good and bad in every group.
I groaned as I set the boxes on her coffee table. I noticed for the first time her TV was on and turned down to an inaudible level to the same news channel my parents watched. Not that I classified it as news, considering every other word that came out of their mouths was how orcs and goblins were ruining this country. This was probably where Ms. Williams learned about Blackrock in the first place. Mental note to teach her how to change the channel as well.
Actually, dear, she said, motioning to the packages I had set down. Can you put those in my sewing room, by the window?
Sure, I murmured through gritted teeth. I hate the idea of you going out so late, especially without a man to protect you.
I'll be fine, I said, as I stumbled through her hallway to the spare bedroom.
Just promise me you'll bring pepper spray, and stay far away from downtown where their kind live.
They're bad, Skye, I'm telling you.
I will. I only agreed to get her off the topic entirely.
I wasn't about to bring up the fact that orcs and demons were slowly but surely integrating into our communities, and that we had nothing to fear. They were normal people, just like us. Then again, even if I had all the time in the world, it wouldn't be enough time to convince my neighbor otherwise. So why bother trying? When I pulled up to the grocery store, the lights were off, and an employee wearing a blue vest was locking the front doors. "Shit," I hissed, banging my steering wheel with my fist. It slipped and I pressed onto the horn, my car blaring through the empty parking lot. The poor employee jumped, almost dropping his ring of keys, and disappeared into the darkness, probably to his car on the other side of the building. You would think the conversation with Miss Williams would squash any sexual feeling I had. But when I was horny, there was nothing, not even a cold shower in the middle of Antarctica, that could quell those feelings except the blessed release of an orgasm. Getting myself off with just my hands was out of the question. I was so neurotic, always two in my head, one of the many reasons Carter broke up with me, that I could never relax enough to reach my release. That was why I never particularly blamed Carter for always giving up after 2 minutes of going down on me. I knew how tough my body was. Though there wasn't an orgasm in my future, at least tonight, a dicking, even a mediocre one, was better than nothing. "Hey, I'm up. Want me to come over?" I ignored the sick feeling in my stomach after sending the text to Carter. "You are strong. You are powerful," I chanted, following the mantra I had learned on one of my empowerment retreats as I waited for his reply. There were the three blue blinking dots, indicating he was typing, and then nothing. Whatever shred of dignity I had left immediately disappeared with those blue dots. What if someone beat me to the punch? What if he has another woman over? I refused to ask him if there were others. I didn't dare. My heart couldn't bear the truth. It was hanging on by a thread at this point. There had been clues, though. Thongs too small to fit me kicked under the bed so I wouldn't see. A strip of fake eyelashes sitting on top of the garbage in the bathroom. The fact that Carter had more than one woman he called on in the middle of the night only sent me into a deeper despair than I thought was possible. I stumbled into work the next morning, feeling like shit. I was hungover, but it was nothing compared to the pain in my heart. I had been rejected by Carter all over again, and just like the first time, it stung like a bitch. Instead of trying to get some sleep last night, after my unsuccessful trip to the store, I went through Carter's old messages, trying to determine the exact day he stopped loving me. The bleached white walls of my office were extra blinding this morning, and I wasted no time heading towards the dungeon, what everyone called the IT office, because it was exactly that. Dark, and separated from the rest of the building with an impossibly heavy metal door. Just how us nerds liked it. I sighed with relief as soon as I stepped into the darkness, my headache already waning. My relief didn't last long, as my coworker's voice rose to a dangerous level. "Well, did you actually turn the computer on and off? Because I swear to whatever god you believe in, goddess, Jesus, the flying spaghetti monster, if I come over there and fix your computer by pressing one button, there will be blood." The desk rattled as Marcy slammed the phone back into the base. Marcy's bloodthirsty expression relaxed into a friendly smile as I dropped my purse and took the seat next to her. "Coming on a little strong for a Monday morning?" Marcy shrugged, leaning back in her seat as she propped her old Doc Martens on the edge of her desk. "That's why you like me. I'm feisty." I snorted. She wasn't wrong. "You know, for a human, you sure have a lot of guts." Marcy laughed, folding one boot over the other. She was beautiful, light brown hair with muted blue eyes, but she hid it well underneath all the smeared eyeliner, the gold ring in her nose, and her don't-fuck-with-me attitude. Though we were polar opposites, I was jealous of her. She lived her life authentically. She was human, and didn't have the same expectation to marry the first decent guy she met and be sweet and submissive all her life, like all fae and elf women were expected to do. "If those assholes try anything with me," she said, "I'm slapping them with a lawsuit. I'm human. I have immunity, bitch. We're an endangered species." I snorted. The only species that need protection is us from you. Marcy chuckled under her breath. How was your weekend, girl? Get into any trouble? I booted up my computer, checking to see if I had any work tickets yet. Not so far, but it was still early. I opened my email and started deleting junk mail one by one. Carter texted me. He's such a dick. Let me guess, it was the middle of the night, and he wanted you to come over. I hope you told him to fuck off. She pulled her attention away from scrolling aimlessly on her cell phone, lowering it to stare at me through narrowed slits. Sky, please don't tell me you did what I think you did. I thought you said you were done with him. I chewed the inside of my cheek, refusing to meet her gaze. She already knew the answer. It's worse. I tried ignoring him, but then I finally gave up and texted him back, saying I could come over, and he ignored me. Marcy's head tipped back, and she let out a long, dramatic groan. Sweet baby Jesus, Sky. This is so sad. I can't take it any longer. Can you please just block his number already? I know. I need to. I promised myself as soon as I started dating again I would. But here I am, 4 horrible months later, answering his every beck, call, and text. That's because you haven't slept with anyone else yet. I keep telling you, the only way to get over someone is to get under someone. Have you downloaded any hookup apps yet? I pushed my brows together. I thought they were unsafe. They can be, but that's why you meet in a public place. Trust me, I know from experience it's easier to get away. Public space? I swiveled in my chair to face her, my voice lowering to a whisper, even though we were the only ones in the room. You mean, to have sex? Marcy didn't give a shit about anything, but exhibitionism seemed a little extreme, even for her. Not to mention illegal. Another reason why I couldn't do it. Marcy shrugged. If you're looking for a noncommittal hookup, it's a lot easier, and a lot faster than going on multiple dates and vetting him to see if he's safe enough to take home. And even if he is, you still risk the chance of him stalking you afterwards. There was no way. I couldn't do it. I was the type of person who struggled to have sex with the lights on. How was I supposed to work up enough nerve to do it in public? But then again, it does sound kind of fun. Aren't you worried about being caught? I asked. Not in downtown, in the old manufacturing district. That place has some really good underground raves, but it's quiet for the most part. You just pop into one of the alleys and do the deed. I've never been caught. It made sense. You wanted to be isolated enough that no one heard you, but somewhere like an alley where you could make a quick getaway if needed. Still, I hated the thought of my human coworker putting herself in a position where she could get kidnapped, or worse, killed. Though Miss Williams was prejudiced when it came to species that weren't fey or elf, she wasn't completely wrong. This city had a terrible drug problem, and where there were drugs, there was violence and gangs. But the small splash of danger did pique my interest. When was the last time you did something exciting? The last time I did anything remotely exciting was when I asked Carter if we could try reverse cowgirl. He hated it, and we immediately went back to missionary, never to be brought up again. If my endangered coworker was brave enough to handle a back alley fuck, I could too, right? Do you ever worry about matching with, someone who is not your species? Miss Williams' voice immediately popped into my head, and I had to hold myself back from saying orcs and goblins in her same pearl-clutching tone. Marcy chuckled at my naivety. I've never had an issue. You know what they say, right? Once you go green. I wrinkled my nose. I thought it was stay away from green because they get really mean. Whatever, she sighed. Stay in your fey comfort zone if you want. But remember, Carter was in your comfort zone. And based on my experience, the green men at least know how to get a lady off. She planted her feet on the ground, straightening in her seat. It's the demons you have to watch out for. They get inside your mind and fuck with you, and not in the way you want. But if you're really worried, it doesn't hurt to bring pepper spray or a taser with you. Marcy's office phone rang, interrupting our conversation. She sighed loudly and picked up the receiver, answering with her usual gruff hello. Get over someone by getting under someone. If it was that simple to break the Carter curse, why hadn't I tried it sooner? As Marcy gave her full attention to the call, balancing the phone between her shoulder and ear as she typed furiously on her keyboard, I pulled my phone out of my purse and held it under my desk. Taking a quick peek to make sure Marcy couldn't see what I was doing, I opened my app store on my phone and downloaded the first hookup app that popped up on my screen. Not wanting to lose my nerve and chicken out, I quickly signed up for an account and made my profile. I uploaded a picture from my younger sister's wedding 5 years ago, the best picture I had, honestly. I was wearing a lavender dress with a bodice so tight that it made my itty-bitty titties look like sea cups, and my light brown hair was curled in perfect wavy ringlets. The makeup artist had worked miracles, making all my imperfections less exaggerated, by thinning out the bridge of my nose and making my small hazel eyes pop. When I tried to recreate the look at home, it looked like I had slammed my face in an open makeup bag. My fingers hovered over the bio, not sure what to type. Honesty is always the best policy. Wanting to be straightforward, and in the spirit of keeping things simple, I typed, "Not looking for anything serious, just DTF." Chapter 2. I was sitting in the first meeting of the day when I received my first dick pic. My boss, Mr. Smith, was standing at the head of the table, droning on about quarterly projections. As the conversation moved from projections to increased department complaints, all thanks to Marcy, though Mr. Smith was tactful enough not to name names, my phone buzzed. Holding my phone underneath the table, I opened the unread message on the hookup app and let out an involuntary gasp. I gaped at the image of a very erect, very veiny cock nestled in a bed of black pubic hair. No preamble, no how are you, just a dick pic from a stranger at 11 a.m. on a Monday.
Sky, are you listening?
I lifted my head to find everyone in the meeting staring at me, even Marcy, who sat through these meetings with a glazed-over look on her face and dry drool in the corner of her mouth, lifted a curious eyebrow my way. I forced a smile, hoping I didn't look as sweaty as I felt, and shoved my phone deep into my cardigan's pocket. I turned the screen towards my body, as if the whole team suddenly had X-ray vision and could see the cock proudly displayed on my phone. Yes, sorry, I'm listening. Please continue. My boss regarded me for a long second before turning his attention back to the entire team.
So, as I was saying, we are going to be integrating a new developing system. It's going to require some overtime as we install this new program and work through all the bugs.
There was a unanimous groan throughout the room.
Don't worry, overtime has already been approved.
He pointed towards me with a chopping motion, while his eyes remained locked on the crowd.
I'm going to put Sky in charge of this project. She'll integrate the new system and then later on, meet with us so she can show everyone how to use it.
His announcement was enough to startle me out of my mortified state. Overtime or not, he didn't ask me. I shouldn't be surprised. He always puts me in charge of new projects that require staying after. I assumed it was because I was reliable, and he trusted my judgment. Marcy told me it's because I'm the only one in the department who won't say no. Out of the corner of my eye, Marcy folded her arms over her chest and gave me a pointed look that screamed, "I told you so." I ignored her. At least I'm not the reason we're having this meeting. As soon as the meeting was over, I rushed to the bathroom to deal with the phone situation in private. I locked the bathroom stall, checking it once again to make sure no one barged in on me, and pulled out my phone. I leaned against the side of the stall, chewing my bottom lip as I stared at my phone. Opening with a dick pic was such a bold move. How was I supposed to reply? Do I say thank you? But that was the beauty of it, right? I didn't have to be the right amount of witty and charming, while not being too intimidating to men's shallow ego. This app had brought us together for one reason, and one reason only, to fuck. This was going to be a conversation that transcended beyond words, and what a fucking relief. I closed out of the app's messaging system and opened his profile, wincing at his username, Muscleman69. The name was a perfect fit, though, because his profile picture was him standing in front of a gym locker room mirror, shirtless and flexing. The only thing veinier than his cock were his thick, corded biceps and forearms. I couldn't really tell what species he was. Definitely not fey or elf. His skin was a muted gray-green, and his face was obscured by the duckbill of his baseball cap, which had the words "Pumping and Coming" proudly embroidered on the front. He looked so different from Carter, who, like most fey men, had a lean physique and found big, hulking muscles too barbaric. But maybe that's exactly what I needed. A palate cleanser. A much-needed change. Still, I wish I could tell what species he was. The picture was too grainy to really tell. It doesn't matter if he's fey or not. You're not going to be taking him home to meet your parents. So true. I opened our messages again and typed, "Do you want to meet up?" The blue blinking dots appeared below my message, letting me know he received my message and was typing a response. I chewed my lip as I waited, mentally patting myself on the back for being so open-minded and totally not bigoted. He messaged back with a simple, "Sure," and asked if there was anything that was off-limits. "I'm not looking for anything crazy, just a quick screw." I paused, staring at the message. "No kissing," I quickly added. He could ram me with that veiny cock as much as he wanted, but kissing almost felt too intimate. It surprised me how quickly he messaged back. "Want to meet up tonight? In the manufacturing district? I have to be down there for some business later, so we can meet up before." Something turned in my stomach, a new feeling I couldn't quite identify. Excitement? Nerves? My intuition told me this was the worst fucking idea I'd ever had, tied with the time I agreed to go on that first date with Carter. "If you're going to do this, better do it tonight, so you don't have time to chicken out." I agreed, confirming the time of 7 p.m. He sent me the details of where to meet him. From a quick, precursory search, an image of an alleyway sandwiched between two buildings showed up on my phone. Marcy wasn't kidding about these back-alley dick appointments. It would take a lot of mental prowess to get over the ickiness of being bent over a dumpster as a stranger fucked me from behind. But I was willing to do anything if it meant breaking Carter's vice grip hold on my heart. I hesitated for a moment, feeling the urge to ask Muscleman69 if he'd killed any of his other hookups. I dropped my phone into my pocket and stepped out of the bathroom stall. Don't be crazy. Just because he likes fucking strangers in alleys doesn't mean he's dangerous. Marcy loves it, and she's not a murderer. Plus, you'll bring pepper spray. You'll be fine. Later that evening, on my way to meet my dick appointment, I ran into Ms. Williams, pretending to water the flowers on her porch. The whole hallway knew the flowers were fake, and Ms. Williams used it to eavesdrop on passing conversations, and to make next-door neighbors late for their scheduled dick appointments. "Going somewhere, dear?" Ms. Williams raised an eyebrow at the plunging neckline of my little black dress. If I were more blessed in the chest region, I'd feel more embarrassed. Modesty was important among fey, especially the older generation. But since I was about as flat as a board, I couldn't care less about Ms. Williams' critical eye. The only thing I cared about was the fact I was already running late. Mr. Smith had approached me after the meeting and asked me, no, told me, that he needed me to stay after to install the new program. And because I have the softest spine in the office, maybe in all of Baltimore, I agreed, with an overly enthusiastic smile. Marcy offered to stay after to help, but I batted her away, telling her to have a good night. She didn't have to suffer because I couldn't say no. I barely had enough time to run home, shower, and haphazardly shave before rushing out the door in the sexiest dress I owned. It had been a while since I wore my sexy date dress, and it had been pushed all the way to the back of my closet, next to the wedding dress I had bought when I still thought Carter was going to propose. I stared at the pristine white dress, sealed in the plastic bag, and considered canceling the date, and spending the rest of the night trying to find the bottom of my wine bottle. But by some miracle, I found enough strength to put on the black dress.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?